RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We're right back to WEEI.
So many angry text messages from the Connecticut listeners. I'm sorry, guys.
Struck
Look,
board here.
Let me clear something up. I'm from the state of Maryland, which is basically a smaller and worse Connecticut. Like, we are stepsisters to each other, essentially. There's not a lot going on in Connecticut. There's not a lot going on in Maryland. We're all fiercely, weirdly proud of where we come from. Driving through Connecticut when you're making a long drive is just not an enjoyable experience. You get on that New Jersey Turnpike, there's four open lanes and everybody's flying by and there's weird injury attorney billboards everywhere you look. We don't mean to completely disrespect all of Connecticut. There are some very fine, beautiful little towns in Connecticut. We understand.
Great pizza.
Driving through it sucks. Driving through it sucks. That's all it is, okay?
Yes, not Connecticut, personal. The state is great, but driving through it, not so much.
Guess what? Driving through Boston sucks.
Driving, period,
I love Boston.
Sucks. I don't like driving like
Are
that
you over driving now?
I bet. Well, for road trips, yeah, it's awful. Driving in general is terrible.
I'm creeped out by people who love a road trip.
They're yeah,
like, let's
no
do
thanks.
A road trip. Couples who do those cross-country road trips, or even worse, like they want to pack up the whole RV, that sounds like my nightmare. Like, no, thank you. Planes were invented so that we didn't have to do this.
Yeah, the people that do the cross-country ones, like, yeah, it sounds fun to stop everywhere, but just the driving aspect of it, no, thank you. I think I would do it just to, you know, say I did it and to experience different parts of the country.
No.
But yeah, I have no interest.
You could
no
not catch me doing it.
Driving.
I have friends who have done it because they've moved back and forth between California and the East Coast. And so unless you're going to pay zillions of dollars to ship everything from one side to the other, you just drive a U-Haul. It just seems freaking miserable. I know there's different types of it. Some people do the
well,
national
the
park
northern
and everything.
Or southern way.
But I'm with you. I'm not a huge driver. No, just don't enjoy it. It's very stressful. But Connecticut, especially stressful to me. At least it was yesterday. All that to say, Connecticut, home of some of the greatest basketball teams in college basketball history. We had a nice performance from the Celtics last night. Started off a little slow against the Pacers. Yet again, the Pacers, one of the worst shooting teams, if not the worst shooting team, as Tyrese Halliburton tries to slowly rehab his Achilles this year, not playing at all. But I want to talk to you about this a little bit, Terp, because the first iteration of what we're about to chat about came out last Sunday. And it's Adam Himmelsbach from the Boston Globe. He got an exclusive interview with the new owner of the Celtics, Bill Chisholm, who we knew very little about when he emerged as at least the face of the group that bought the team.
And we weren't alone.
Everybody
really knew much about him.
Didn't
have a Wikipedia page.
The big feature that Adam Himmelsbach wrote on Bill Chisholm last Sunday that got published was like, who the hell is this guy? Nobody knew who he was, even very late in the bidding process. A lot of people inside the building seemed to think and were also hoping that it would be PAGS who emerged as it so that there would be, you know, the assumed stability of what...
It's a familiar face.
Yeah.
You think makes sense.
Nobody wants anything to change when you're coming out of a very recent championship. But I kind of say, when I read the feature about Chisholm, the whole device of, if you haven't read it, I encourage you to, but we'll describe. It starts off with a device of hiking the Appalachian Trail and how he does different segments of it at different times and why he wanted to buy the Celtics, aside from just being a massive Celtics fan growing up. It made me like him more. Like, the more he is a kind of rare public individual, and especially a very wealthy one, where I do think the more that comes out about Bill Chisholm, the better he looks.
He just seems like such a genuine guy. From conversations we've had with him, from these stories that come out, it's just everything about him just seems to be so genuine. And he is a really interesting guy. I love the part about the Skittles. They call him Skittles on the Trail because he brings Skittles. And the people on the trail had no clue that he was the owner of the Celtics. Did you see that part where he reached out to one of the guys? They called him T-Bone on the Trail. And he had no clue that Chisholm owned the Celtics.
Yeah, I mean, look, he had no real public-facing persona going into this, which, if you remember when we were going through the process of trying to figure out who was going to be emerging as the final contenders to buy the team, people were talking about, like, Jeff Bezos or, you know, somebody...
Jeffrey Lurie from the Eagles. Different... That was another one that they got tied to.
Yes, and I still think there might have been something to that. He denied it a couple weeks after, I think,
Simmons... Super Bowl Media Day.
Yeah, that's Bill Simmons said beforehand, but I talked to a local columnist down there who covered him for a long time, and he seemed to think that there was, like, serious fire where that smoke came from.
And he was at one of the playoff games during the finals run, which also kind of drove to that a little bit. Lori, that is.
So what I didn't know about Chisholm was that, you know, you hear about him, you go like, okay, this is an Ivy League grad who's a finance guy and he's buying the team and he's from somewhere kind of on the North Shore. You're like, okay, just like, you know, typical, very wealthy guy. He grew up with a family where his dad was like a airline tech or something in the Korean War. His mom's like, they're teachers. They're from Georgetown. His dad is one of nine. I mean, he went to Dartmouth because he got a soccer scholarship. Like, I feel like we could have learned this stuff a little earlier instead of having the, like, oh, it's a rich finance dude, which he is, but he built his way up there.
It's funny, too. They were talking with one of the, I think it was Rob Hale was the one that they had in the story. I forget who it was off the top of my head, but he was like, later in the bidding process, we're like, who is this guy? They still don't know. And it is interesting. The more and more you hear about him, the more, you know, you hear him tell his story and the way he talks, it's like, all right, you know, this guy is actually pretty interesting. And, you know, I like the features like this because it shines a light that, you know, you really didn't have with them.
Yeah. So according to Himmelsbeck feature, Chisholm's father, William Sr., grew up in Somerville, second youngest of nine. He was an airline mechanic in the Air Force during the Korean War, put himself through night school at Suffolk, and worked for the Metropolitan District Commission for 48 years. And he was in a family of three, Bill Chisholm Jr. They lived in a modest two-story, one-bathroom home on Marlboro Road in Georgetown, where a basketball hoop was attached to a tree with plywood, and a stone wall in the neighbor's yard was called the Green Monster for wiffle ball games. So I know people have, like, I don't know, maybe accused him of being like a little bit corny or borderline corny by being like, oh, I'm like such a fan. If anybody, Kimberly, my wife and I are the biggest fans. Blah, blah, blah. I actually think that that's just kind of genuinely who he was. Like
100%.
Growing up, he didn't grow up going to some boarding schools. That's wonderful if you can afford it. I'm not knocking that. But it kind of seems like on the surface, that's who he would have been. I would encourage you, if you're skeptical or wondering about the future of the Celtics ownership, to read that piece, because I think it'll alleviate a lot of your concerns that this does seem to be somebody who, and Brad Stevens was quoted in the piece as well, seems to have the team's best interest at heart, and it's not being treated just as an asset of, hey, this is part of my financial portfolio, which we know is the case with some other teams who are owned by other groups in the city.
And even before this feature, there was another story on him, I think right when he bought the team, where he was talking about how he used to send videos to his kids and his wife during the finals run of him wearing a Celtics jersey, just listening to, like, Eye of the Tiger, getting all hyped up for the game. So, like, this is a guy that truly cares about the team. And I think Wick Roesbeck made that pretty clear that when they were selling the team, they were going to do it to somebody that cared. There wasn't going to be somebody that just wanted to add to their portfolio. And I think the thing with Chisholm, it was such a weird transition. And there was a, it was outlined in this as well that Brad Stevens talked about, like, hey, he called them up and was like, hey, we have to retool. Like, I'm sorry, but we have to do this. That's the nature of the league. That's the second apron. That's the team that they bought. So it was kind of a tough transition for him to come in and take. And I understand that people are going to question the money, right? You just dismembered a championship team because it was going to cost almost $500 million, half a billion dollars, most expensive roster in NBA history. There are all the luxury taxes that came with it. And obviously people didn't want to see guys like Drew Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis, Al Horford, Luke Kornet. They didn't want to see them go. But the reality is that's life in the NBA now. Like, you're going to have to dip out of the second apron. And when Jason Tatum went down, I think it made that decision a little bit more easy. Like, you're going to pay a half a billion dollars for a team that doesn't have its best player. And looking at how they have overachieved this year relative to the expectations entering the year, you're probably like, well, you probably should have just hung on. But the reality was they had to retool. They had to get out of the second apron. Wick Roesbeck talked about it before the sale process was even public last March on these airwaves. He was like, no team is going to live in the second apron. That is something that they knew when they put together this team.
He said more than 2 years.
More than 2 years.
It's going to be 2 year windows in the second apron.
And so you'll see teams duck out and then go back in. And you know, that's kind of where the Celtics are at. And it's weird because this is all so new. Like, the Celtics are the first example of a team that was affected and had to be broken down because of the second apron, because this is the first kind of seasons we're starting to see it kick in. So I understand the questions and the concerns when you see a new owner come in and retool the team the way that he did. But it was just kind of that weird transition process. And I think people are starting to understand it the more and more, it is explained of how just – that's what the NBA wants. This is the parity the league wants. And
which I
unfortunate.
Hate.
I hate it as well. Like, you should be rewarded for the Celtics, for that team, right? The two pillars of that were Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, who they drafted and developed. They should be rewarded for having guys like that. But because they're on two Supermax deals, you can't afford guys like Kristaps Porzingis and Drew Holiday. So it makes it difficult. But this is what the league wanted. And it was just an unfortunate transition period when he comes in, when they have to retool and they have to break it down to the studs a little bit and reset. So I think we'll see. I mean, now you can start judging him and this ownership group for what it is, right? Like, now that they're – when the expectation when Jason Tatum's back on the floor, 100% healthy next year, you're going all in again, and you're dipping back into that apron and
you're
trying to win
next
championships.
Year,
I don't think it's going to be this year, like, because they would have just – if this was the case, like – you're not going to go back over to second apron this year. Like, that's
no,
just,
I'm saying you think Tatum's return is next year.
No. I'm saying I think he's going to play this year.
Okay.
But I think he
I
will
just
be
wanted
100%.
To check in and make sure that was cleared up what your expectations
yes, no,
are.
I appreciate that. No, I think he comes back this year. But this is kind of like a rehab stint. When he comes back this year, he's going to be on a minutes restriction. He's presumably not going to be, at least right away, a 30-point-per-game scorer.
Excuse
flirting
me.
With a triple-double.
Did you not see the videos he posted on Instagram
of
him
fantastic.
Practicing at Butler? Brad Stevens was out there feeding the ball to him, and then he was walking around with his shirt off.
There's been no limitations, which has been the best thing about this, is like, from the clips that Jason Tatum's sharing online, from the brief snippets of practice and the individual drills that we did to see him go through, like, there's no limitations, and that's great. But the reality is he's coming off a torn Achilles. And
it's the worst injury you can have in basketball.
Exactly. So to expect him to come back and be a 30-point-per-game triple-double, flirting with a triple-double every night, like, that's just so unrealistic, especially when you consider he's going to be limited. And I think the biggest thing about this season is just getting him on the floor and letting him relearn his body, letting him get over that mental hurdle. And Drew Smith was here a couple weeks ago. He plays for the Miami Heat, ruptured his Achilles, was back after 9 months, and is having a career year for him this year. And he was talking about it, like, the mental hurdle is absolutely a real thing. But once you get through it after a couple games and you start to realize, like, I'm good, I'm just playing basketball, and you learn to trust your body, you're all good again. So that's the most important thing for Tatum, is to get back out there, relearn his body, trust it again, and start seeing the game the way he was last year.
Something I've been wondering about, and I thought about it after he tore the Achilles, and then I really thought about it after Patrick Mahomes tore his ACL. And there were the immediate comparisons of Patrick Mahomes, maybe the first chapter of his dynasty, versus Brady tearing his ACL, and what it would mean for Patrick if he comes back and wants to continue being as competitive as he was before. how he's going to change taking care of himself. Do you think we get weird Jason Tatum going forward? Do you think Jason Tatum's going to be avocado ice cream? Weird guy, have a guru next to him that does like special massages and pliability. Special massages sounds terrible.
Yes, that would Nick say.
Let me rephrase that. Particular massages, pliability, drinking gallons of water every day.
I don't, because Jason Tatum already had put so much into his preparation and into his body. We knew it. Like, we'd be waiting for Jason Tatum for almost 2 hours after games because he's in back getting treatment and he's doing things for his body, for his recovery. Like, he was already so invested in that. And him and Nick Sang do a great job in making sure he's at his best. And I think he already did it so much that
he was
maybe
already so available leading up to it.
Right.
When you look at the minutes he played, it was a huge deal when he took a night off to be at his son's birthday. That was a big story.
And that, of all the things with Jason Tatum, like the only issue between him and the front office or any of this since he's been here is them trying to get him to sit because he refused. He wants to be out there and he wants to be playing against the Charlotte Hornets in November on a Monday, a game that's on league passes, he's famously said. Like, it's not a game that many people would want to care about. And the league now defined by load management. And like, they're enticing players to play at least 65 games to be eligible for all NBA and MVP candidacy and all that. Like, they're trying to get players to play more. He's just been the anti to that for so long. And that's what made this injury so much harder for him, is he just wants to play basketball.
Yeah. Okay. We don't know if Jason Tatum's going to come back this season, if he's going to come back and be the weird chapter two of Jason Tatum, like we saw with Tom Brady, which really changed everything about his career. So it could be a great thing. We'll see looking forward. We're going to continue our Celtics talk on the other side, though, because the Celtics did just sweep the Pacers in a little mini series that they had this week around the Christmas holiday. Jaylen Brown, been averaging 30 for I don't even know how many games now. What is it, like eight games?
Eight straight. He's one 30-point game shy of tying Larry Bird for the most consecutive 30-point games in Celtics franchise history.
Jaylen Brown, he's dancing around that top five space every week over December. What does he have to say about how he feels about this season so far, and what should we read into that? Because it's a little bit spicy, the conversation that Justin Turpin had with him earlier this week. We'll hit that right after trending.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it on WEEI.
Oh, it means everything. I think this has been my favorite season so far. You know, being able to get an opportunity to lead a group, a group of guys who, you know, some of us, we have some championship experience, but we have five or six new guys who haven't really played NBA basketball. And now we look like one of the better teams in the league. And that's just credit to our coaching staff and credit to our leadership that we've been able to get those guys comfortable. And we're playing some good basketball right now, so it means everything.
That is the voice of Jaylen Brown, who is averaging almost 29.5 points per game this season. His best field goal percentage ever in the NBA. And he's playing just shy of 34 minutes a game. 28 games so far, definitely the leader on this team, and has been flirting with being a serious name in the MVP conversation. So, Terp, on one side, it's not surprising that he would say this is his favorite season. It's the best season of basketball he's ever played, and it's certainly the best that he's looked since the season when he was pushing to get his Supermax contract. At that time, I said on these airwaves, I was like, you have to pay Jaylen the Supermax contract. He's worth it. But it's fair to question whether he'll ever look that strong again, whether he'll ever play that well again. That's not because like he would get like lazy or he wouldn't work as hard or anything. It's just that was such a fantastic season. He's taken it to a different level this season. But when you hear him say, this is my favorite season, it's one of two seasons that he's ever played in the NBA, of course, without Jason Tatum on the floor.
I think the question in that is super important, where they're asked, the question was, what does it mean to have this much impact in the team's success this year from a personal side? And we all know how prideful Jaylen Brown is, right? He doesn't forget the boos on draft night. He doesn't forget the left-hand jokes and all that. Like, that's just who he is. And there were so many questions entering this year about whether or not Jaylen Brown can lead a team, can be a number one. And he's answered that resoundingly with a yes. Like, he's an MVP candidate, or at least he should be. The only player at putting up the averages that he is in points, rebounds, and assists is Luka Doncic.
Like, which that's is insane.
Elite company. And just the way he's played this year, 8 straight games with 30 points, hasn't scored under 30 since November 30th. Like, just the way, in the one game he didn't score 30, he had a triple-double. Like,
right.
It's just night in and night out, he's just giving them a chance. And the expectations in this team, like, some people had them going for a lottery pick, like, wanted them to tank. And Jaylen Brown's played them into third in the Eastern Conference. And after, since their 0-3 start there, 19-8, it's a fifth best record in the NBA over that stretch. And, you know, Jaylen Brown deserves a lot of credit for what he's done. And from a personal standpoint, the way he's played, the way he's proved a lot of people wrong, which is something that means something to him, he should be happy and he should feel like this is one of the better seasons for him. And the question, again, was his personal success in the team success. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with that whatsoever.
I don't have a problem with it. I think Jaylen is a lot more comfortable than he used to be. He's more comfortable with the media. He's doing his Twitch stream all the time. And I think it's on Twitch, right?
Yeah, Twitch. Yeah,
he's streaming all the time. And he's got, like, I think a support system that he loves in Boston. He loves the younger guys on this team and is enjoying being in the role of teaching those guys how to be, as he said, they're NBA players. You have guys like Josh Minot or Luka Garza who have been in the league but were in developmental roles for the most part wherever they were, not to mention somebody like Hugo Gonzalez, our favorite from Spain, who
he's
is playing
great
with Real Madrid and now has come over here and is immediately catching fire. I think Jaylen does really enjoy that role working with the younger guys, which is great to see. I just worry, Terp, if this will bring us back to the never-ending saga of conversation that was supposedly put to bed when the Celtics won the championship, which was, can Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown not only coexist, but thrive and build off one another as the duo that should be the best duo in the NBA? Now, assuming Jason Tatum comes back and, you know, not 100% whenever he comes back immediately, but gets to some semblance of the level that he was at before. If not, hey, better, whatever, whatever your expectations are. But to still put them in that conversation, do you think this experience is going to change how Jalen feels about the role that he was previously playing, where he talked about sacrifice all the time? Sacrificing this, sacrificing that, trying to win a championship, trying to hang banners. And I think what went unsaid with a lot of that sacrifice is that he was the 1B to the 1A, which has always been Tatum since his rookie season here.
Well, two things. First of all, I think this Jaylen Brown being put in this position, being put in the 1A role, is going to help when Jason Tatum comes back, because he's figured it out now. He's fully figured out what it takes and what he needs to do. So I think that is going to help when Jason Tatum comes back. Just the way he has to see the floor and act as a playmaker, that'll be important. But the second part of that, I think this came from his Twitch stream a couple weeks ago, where he was talking about when things were tough, when he was always in trade rumors, he was starting to grow a little bit frustrated, and he talked to Tracy McGrady. And Tracy McGrady was like, don't leave, man. Like, stay there. Try to win championships. That's the most important part. And Jaylen Brown talked about how much that kind of resonated with him, and that's kind of been his number one goal. That's been his driving. That's what's driving him, is trying to win a championship. And the reality is, as long as Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are together on the floor, the Celtics are contenders. They are championship contenders whenever those two guys are on the floor together. So if that's what's driving him, the championship and the drive to win another one, then I don't see why he'd be unhappy whatsoever. I think it is important that he got this, right? Like, this might be enough. He's already won Eastern Conference Finals MVP, NBA Finals MVP. He has the personal accolades. He's going to be an All-NBA player this year. He's going to finish top 10 in MVP voting if this continues. So he's proven that he can do that. And I think this was important for him to prove that he can be that guy. But still, the most important thing for him is winning a championship. And the best way for him to do that is with Jason Tatum. And I think he understands that.
617-779-7937. If you want to jump in on our conversation about Jaylen Brown, season that he's having, the best season of his career so far, and definitely putting him in the conversation, at least for top five, as you said, top 10 MVP.
At the worst, yeah.
At the worst. He's been, if you ever follow the MVP, the NBA Kia MVP ladder week to week, they have him like in the 7th spot over the last 2 weeks, but he was in the 4 or 5 spot at some point in there. So he's actually been in like the national conversation, if you want to say that, not just locally. I just wonder, like, at some point with Jalen, he's had the Eastern Conference Finals MVP. He's had the Finals MVP. He's gotten the Supermax. He's won the championship here. Like, I think for him, personally, for his career, the best thing, I agree, is to stay with the Celtics. Especially when you start moving to another team and you could turn into, I don't want to say like James Harden, because they're completely different guys, completely different players, but it's really quick where when you leave the team that you were with, that you built a lot of your career with, then all of a sudden you're with this team for 2 years, you're with this team for 3 years, then you're with this team for 2 years, then all of a sudden you're Russell Westbrook.
And that's a great point, because watching the NBA on Christmas, that really jumped out to me. Like Kevin Durant, who claims Kevin Durant? Kyrie Irving, I guess you probably...
Well, Kevin Durant would say he claims Kevin Durant.
But, like, which fan base is it? Like, there's not really... He doesn't really have a home. You know,
isn't that how, like, a lot of younger... I mean, you're much younger than me, so you can answer. Isn't that how, like, a lot of younger fans are looking at this, though? They're like, I root for LeBron. I root for Kevin Durant. I root for Stephen Curry. Now, Curry's been with the Golden State Warriors the whole time.
There's a commercial about his loyalty, in fact.
Right, of course, with the guy who passes him the ball every time when he warms up. But at the same time, like, there's plenty of kids who are not Golden State Warriors fans. They don't care who's coming and going from the Golden State Warriors. They're Stephen Curry fans.
Yeah, I think that's the same in every sport, though. Like, I think there's Josh Allen fans, but not Buffalo Bills fans. I think people do root for specific players, but when you're talking about a player's legacy, like, I think part of Kevin Durant and part of James Harden, their story will be, well, they never really had a home. Like, they just continued to jump around the league. So I think you look at that, and that's why I keep going back to that Tracy McGrady story. Like, him telling Jaylen Brown to stay, and he chose to leave. And he had regrets about that, where he should have stayed and just continued that legacy. And, I mean, I know people always try to pit him against each
other. Share that story in case people don't know, because people might not know that story.
The Tracy McGrady story. Yeah, yeah, so... This was on Jaylen Brown's Twitch stream. He was talking about...
Not everyone's watching it 24/7.
Yeah, no, I'm not either. I actually saw this clip. I actually haven't watched any of it, because people clip it anyway, and I'll find it that way. And Jaylen Brown was talking about how Tracy McGrady, when things got tough for Jaylen and he was thinking about asking for a trade and leaving Boston, Tracy McGrady told him not to do it. He told him to stay here and try to compete for championships and let that be the number one goal. And Jaylen Brown was talking about, and this was a couple weeks ago, so this is amid his All-NBA MVP-type season here, and he was saying that that really resonated and that he wanted to be kind of like that. He wanted to have this legacy. And I know people try to pin them against each other all the time. It's always Jason or Jaylen, all that, whatever it may be. But the reality is like these two have built such a legacy, a found legacy together, where these guys are all-time great Celtics. Like, they will go down as Celtics greats together. And for them to be able to play together at their prime right now is a special time for the Celtics in this franchise. And I know, you know, Jason Tatum's down right now, but like, these guys are still in the middle of their prime, and you know, the sky's the limit for these guys. And I think it's just so important that they realize that. And I think they do. And I think Joe Mazzulla plays a key role in that. And so does Brad Stevens. Like, from top to bottom, the organization gets the goal. It's always the team over the individuals. They're focused on winning the championships, and that starts at the top. Joe Mazzulla, Brad Stevens do a good job kind of making that really clear. And Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown also kind of see that. They're, on their own, individually, terrific players. Everyone understands that. But their goal is to win championships. And again, the best way for them to do that is together and working together towards that goal. So as long as they're here, they're contenders. And I think that Tracy McGrady story and Jaylen Brown really kind of connecting with it is important kind of note, because that's his goal. And the best way for him to do it is with Tatum.
So turning over to Tatum, as we said, if you don't follow him on social media and you're not following the Jaylen Brown Twitch, we got to keep you in the loop with all of this. Tatum shared a bunch of videos on Instagram, I think it was yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Where he was at Butler, where Brad Stevens used to be the head coach way back in the day, and was shooting, playing one-on-one, then 1v2 with coaches, and going through all these workouts, sharing the highlights of it, sharing pictures of himself after, chilling out, like looking very fit and strong. And these got memed all over the place and reshared all over the place. Tatum's not doing this unless he, like, is chomping at the bit to come back, right? Like,
100%.
For as much as everyone is, hey, is he coming back this season? Is it worth it for him to come back this season? I think that there are still some out there who, I would say mostly fans, I don't know if it's so much media, but fans who look at the situation and say, the best outcome we've seen from this is in the modern NBA is really Kevin Durant. And maybe he got a blessing in disguise that COVID forced him to be out for 18 months. And he had the best outcome. So maybe it's the best for Tatum to wait as long as possible to come back. And why come back this season when you're really flirting with maybe something beyond the play-in in the Eastern Conference? I don't think the Eastern Conference is very strong this year.
Not at all.
Like, I know New York is a little scary and Detroit can be really good. But otherwise, like, it's very kind of similar to the AFC, where it's kind of an open year. I'm not saying like you push so that you're in the Eastern Conference Finals if it's not in Jason Tatum's best interests, but I don't think you're overly cautious with Jason Tatum given how the situation of the East seems to be playing out.
I've always viewed it kind of like a phone battery. Like, when your phone is on the charger and it gets to 100%, it's not going over 100%. So why keep it on the charger? That's like Jason Tatum. When he's fully healthy, and I want to be crystal clear, fully healthy, cleared by multiple doctors, his personal doctors, outside doctors, team doctors, and he's 100% healthy. There's no further risk. Why keep him out? It wouldn't make any sense.
So I think people look at like an Achilles injury, and I'm not a doctor, obviously. You're not a doctor, obviously.
Not even close.
My understanding, though, is that when it's healed, it's healed. So
maybe he should come back.
Like, there's this idea of, well, you need to, like, have the longest rehab possible, like Kevin Durant, because that's directly tied to it. I think that's why some people are leaning towards the idea of having him out longer. It also, I think, gets mixed up with the idea of soft tissue injuries, like when somebody pulls their hamstring and has a bad hamstring pull. And it's like, well, just don't overly do it, because then you might do it again. From what I can understand,
right,
it's not the case with Achilles.
And the organization has made this abundantly clear. He's not coming back unless he is 100% healthy. That is the goal. Jason Tatum's not going through all this rehab and doing all this to rush back a couple weeks early and do it all again. Like, when he comes back and touches the floor again, it is because he is 100% clear. There is absolutely minimal risk. Like, it's not going to happen again, and they feel very comfortable in that. But if he's at that point, no matter when it is, he should come back. And I think he's going to push for that. And the organization understands that. And I've always thought the conversation of him coming back and where they are in the standings is completely separate. I know they're third in the Eastern Conference right now, and we were just talking about it. Hey, they might be able to win the East. That's how bad the Eastern Conference is. I don't think I'd pick them to do it, but there's an argument to be made there. They've been one of the best teams in the NBA since they stumbled out of the gates at 0-3. I think people are kind of looking at that and be like, oh, this team gets to add Jason Tatum, and like, oh, wow, the sky's the limit for them. But regardless, even if they were a lottery team like people expected them to be, if he was 100% healthy, he should have came back, or like he should. Like, that's just how it is. Like, get him on the floor, let him relearn his body, let him relearn how to see the floor, let him get comfortable and get over that mental hurdle, which definitely exists. Drew Smith was here a couple weeks ago, plays for Miami. He's having a career year, tore his Achilles last December, was ready for training camp, and has played in every one of their games. He's having career highs pretty much across the board. So there are examples out there for guys that come back and are very efficient. Like Kevin Durant's obviously the number one guy, but Drew Smith is another good one, and he's very recent.
How old was Drew Smith when he...
He's 26 now, and the worst thing with him is he tore his ACL the year before. So he tears his ACL, comes back, plays 14 games, I think it was, and then tears his Achilles, and then came back, was ready for training camp, and has played the entire way. And now he's a role player, so you're going to look
but
at his numbers.
The interesting thing is that it's the age, right?
Right.
What's different with Tatum, and we'll see with Halliburton as well, is guys do not usually have this injury this young. And so we don't know how much of the outcomes that we see from other Achilles injuries are somebody who is that age taken out of the game for a year and sometimes like a year plus, and then having to work themselves back into the NBA game. I would imagine that's easier to do. Like, unfortunate that it would happen in your prime because that's your prime, but you would have a better outcome coming back in your prime. That's the big unknown with all of this. Everybody points to the previous experiences that we've seen with Achilles, but to have somebody like that who is 26, I think even though he's a role player, that's a really good indicator.
Right, and I mentioned that more so for the stats. Like, if you're going to look up Drew Smith's stats, nothing's really crazy, but 17.2 minutes per game, it's the second highest he's played in his career. He's been available for every game. Like, there are just the modern medicine is just... It's fascinating the way that these injuries have kind of the recovery time has been cut down so significantly. And with Jason Tatum, he had it done by what's widely regarded as one of the best Achilles surgeons in the nation. And he had it done
probably
just right
the
after
best.
The best, right? Had it done right after the injury because it was right down the street. The surgery was done. They did the speed bridge technique, which is supposed to enhance and, you know, shorten the recovery time. So all of it's coming up good for Tatum, it looks like. And again, there's been no limitations when you're seeing the videos that he shared, the snippets of practice that we get to see. So from what we can see from the outside, everything looks to be going well. And I think the next step in that is obviously, you know, he's still in the growth, the strength building process. And Brad Stevens was very candid about that when he spoke like 2 weeks ago, saying he's still in the strength building process. He's still a while away. He has to go scripted, 1-on-1, 3-on-3, 5-on-5, unscripted, random, all that stuff. So he still has a lot of boxes to check. But right now, looking at it, like, you feel really good about where he's at in his recovery.
I think the unscripted point will be the big turning point for him.
For sure.
When he can improvise and be able to, it's kind of like learning a second language, right? When you get to the point where you don't have to think about what it is you're doing, you just speak it. I think that will be the turning point for him in terms of actually coming back, because it'll be, I don't have to think about how my body's responding to this, and I don't have to have the feeling of I need to protect myself from injury or contact. Not saying that he's like shying away from that, but I think that would be like the natural human reaction.
Different injuries, obviously, but we saw that with Gordon Hayward. He was so timid when he got back on the floor.
Talk about an injury.
Yeah, that was just horrible, horrible looking injury, and all that. Obviously a horrible injury and recovery as well, but when he got back on the floor, it took him a little while to relearn his body and to get over that kind of that fear factor, which obviously is going to be prevalent. It's going to exist. And I think that's the biggest thing for Jason Tatum, is getting him out on the floor this year, letting him work all that out this year. Because the reality is, if they make the Eastern Conference Finals this season, that's a wild overachievement.
Absolutely. It
Nobody
almost
expected
takes,
that.
It takes you back to 2017.
Right. I think that was the best case scenario.
Which year was that?
That
when
was 2017.
They were, yeah, without Kyrie.
With Isaiah, yeah.
No. I'm saying 2018.
2018.
Okay, both.
Oh, yeah.
We say 2017 with IT, and then the following year looked like it wasn't going to happen because Gordon Hayward and Kyrie were both out.
Yeah, exactly. It's like that was the best case scenario, is them making a somewhat decent run in the postseason. Like, it was all about the number one aspect of this season was the development from the younger players. Like, well, who do you have on this roster that can contribute to the next iteration of a championship contending team?
Ugo.
Kata.
Kata.
Has been great.
Absolutely.
Minot slowed down a little bit, but that's a guy that looks like he can contribute off the bench. Jordan Walsh has been fantastic. And I know he's been dealing with a little bit of an illness, gotten some foul trouble last night, but he looks like one. And it's not hyperbolic to say that this was make or break for Jordan Walsh.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You weren't sure what was going to happen with him. And it's crazy to talk that way about a 21-year-old who has not really had a lot of opportunity. And he wasn't going to. I mean, the teams the last 2 years were one of the greatest ever assembled that in NBA history and certainly in Celtics history. Like, when you look back on that team, you're going to be like, wow, that was a ridiculously good team.
Not much room for development.
So, yeah, of course he's not going to play. But, yeah, I mean, that was the number one aspect of this year is the development of the younger players, and it's been very impressive.
All right, that's our Celtics talk. On the other side, we're going to return to football. Interesting story developing out of the Vegas locker room. It was NFL on Fox that first reported that I saw Max Crosby extremely displeased with what he's hearing about what might happen for the last two games. Where does Tom Brady stand in all of it? We're going to get to that little controversy right after this break.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores, or DSW.com.
We're back.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
Yeah, I don't give a lot to play, like, to be honest. I don't play for that. That's not my job. My job is to be the best defensive end in the world, and that's what I focus on every day, and being a great leader, and being an influence, and being that guy on a consistent basis for my team. So, yeah, that's their job. That's, you know, the front office, the coaches, that they do that, but that's got nothing to do with me. You know, I've learned that lesson in the past. I'm not trying to – you can't control everything. And that's not my job description. My job is to be the best in the world at what I do. And that's wrecking the game.
Max Crosby, star of the Vegas Raiders. Very unhappy being asked about the possibility that he would be sat for the final two games of the NFL season as the Raiders face the Giants today. And it's a tank-off. It's two bad teams, one of which, by the way, beat you in week one, which was crazy. looking back on it. But two teams fighting for the number one pick. And hey, you're familiar with this game. You've been in this game. You blew it up last year. But you go to ask a player, and especially a player like Max Crosby, who's a franchise player who was drafted in the fourth round, not some first round pick, and say, you know, you're not going to play after he's been battling through the entire season with injury after injury, and say, well, we don't need you to play these last two games because we're going for the pick. That's the right response from him. But I do think that he sounds particularly frustrated when he mentions the coaches, the front office. Like, I wonder if they're flirting with disaster here.
Yeah, that's a guy who seems like he wants to be out of there. And the contract is very tradable. I was looking into it a little bit. It's only $5 million of dead money for the Raiders if they do decide to trade him. So feels like a player they can get a haul for. Obviously one of the best pass rushers in football, and that's obviously a position of need for all around the league. Those are
players.
Well,
it's a position of need locally, isn't it?
Certainly for the Patriots, yeah. I mean, you have to be happy with what they've gotten this year from guys like Kalyvon Chaisson and obviously Harold Landry as well. But if you can go get a guy like Max Crosby, I mean, man, that'd be a lot of fun.
In the offseason, what would you give up to acquire Max Crosby?
That's a good question.
How far do you go?
Is there like kind of, has there been, what would be the most apt comparison recently for like a pass rusher of his caliber? Like, you thought it might
Micah
be Miles
Parsons?
Garrett last year. Yeah, Micah Parsons. What was that, two first round picks and a player?
I honestly think Micah Parsons greater than Max Crosby just because
he's
so much younger.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, that's a really juicy player that I think Mike Vrabel would have a hard time if he was significantly displeased going over to Brady, Tom Brady, and saying, hey, I don't think he's a fit for you guys anymore. If he's really that unhappy, bring him on over to New England. What would you give up?
I think I would do the picks for it.
Yeah.
And like, just a pass rusher of that caliber and, you know, just a guy that can you just send out there every Sunday and you know he's going to wreak havoc. Like, yeah, that's definitely a player I'd splash for. And obviously, I guess it would come down to, would you rather spend on the receiver or the pass rusher? I think those are the two that people are going to look for to go get a number one receiver, or if you get it like a star pass rusher like that. If you had to choose between the two, which one would it be?
I am going pass rusher because, if anything, Drake May has proven this year that he can make anybody look like a number one receiver on any given day. You had three straight games where he had a different wide receiver or pass catcher, because Hunter Henry was in there, with 100-plus receiving yards. Obviously, I don't want to diminish what Stephon Diggs has done this year and the standard that he set in that room, but I think you have to go pass rush. Your pass rush, I love Kalyvon Chaisson. Harold Landry was putting up crazy numbers at the beginning of the season.
It's definitely cooled off.
It's one of the big deficits of your team, and it's not like there's anybody who's younger who's coming up who you're saying, well, there's a lot of opportunity. He's not pass rush per se, but I haven't been overly impressed with Barmore this year. Like, they just can't generate the pressure, and they don't seem to have younger guys who are like growing into that role.
And they made it clear that having a strong defense is a priority for them. Look at what they spent over the offseason,
right,
specifically on the defensive side of the ball. So I wouldn't be surprised if they went out and made a big move to acquire a pass rusher. And I also think both are very rare. Both are really hard to find, those number one receivers and those star pass rushers. And when one is available, you have to go out and try to acquire him, especially for a Patriots team. Like, we talked about the schedule this upcoming year, like next season, is going to be very challenging. And a guy like Max Crosby can help alleviate that a little bit. So I think I'd probably go with the pass rusher as well, because Drake May has proven that he can make it work with the guys. And I also think he has good relationships and good chemistry with the players already on this roster, specifically the young players. Like, guys like Kyle Williams over his last six games has been great for this team. Kayshon Booty, that looks like a legitimate connection between the two. And Stephon Diggs is still under contract to be here next season. So I think you feel good about what you have at receiver and the guys that you are developing in that regard. So, yeah, I mean, I'd be all in on a guy like Crosby, and I'd give up whatever they're asking for to get him.
We're going to take a quick break. On the other side, we're going to reset Patriots. We have another hour with you leading up to noon. Megan Adelini and Justin Turpin here. We're going to look ahead to the Jets. A little more at stake than just beating the Jets again. Just a truly pathetic team that you're seeing at MetLife tomorrow. What it means for the race for the number one seed in the AFC. What it means for clinching the division. What it means for a little spark plug by the name of Epton Chisholm. We'll hit that right after this break.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.